And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome again to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I want to start off by telling all the folks out there that I really appreciate you. I just cannot tell you how much I appreciate the audience, our good friends. I call you, I should say, truth tellers. You know, I've heard these ministries before. They talk about their ministry partners. Well, you are my partner, and I guess that's okay. It's good to be a partner here in Texas. You know, we're sort of cowboyish and all, but, you know, to me, you're a truth teller. And I like that. You know, my most recent book, Conspiracy World, is a truth teller's compendium of eye-opening facts and forbidden revelations. Well, I like that too. You know, the fact is we're willing to tell the truth, even if it hurts. And let me tell you, those, I shouldn't call them cockroaches, but some of them are. They sure scurry, don't they? And try to hide behind the furniture when the light comes on. And, you know, truth telling is something that is purifying. It's anesthetic. And, I'm proud to be a truth teller. And I have so many friends out there that write to me, that send me information. Without you, I shouldn't tell you this because I guess it just brings me down a notch, but I don't mind bringing myself down if I can raise up others. And I'm talking about you. Without you, I'd be nothing. I've always said that about God, and I believe it. Without God, I'd be nothing. And now I admit it, I confess it. Without you, I would be nothing. So thank you so much. Hey, a lot of you, you know, I've been telling you about my medical travails and tribulations. And boy, this year I've had about everything. I had the worst kind of shingles, and that lasted for about 4 months, covered my whole body practically, and wow. Then I had this sort of post-shingle stuff where, I tell you, I couldn't hardly breathe. It got into my lungs. And I don't know what all I've had. It's just I had low thyroid, low testosterone. Thought I was going to start talking like a girl for a while there. No, I'm just teasing. And I mean, I had to take this thyroid medicine. It was worse. The cure was worse than what I had. I quit taking that. Then I got this gout, which is really uremic poisoning. They say it affects usually the big toe. Well, let me tell you, it affected my every one of my toes and my whole left leg. And then it ran up into my back. I have degenerative spine anyway. And that got all inflamed. And that went down my sciatic nerve down my left side. And, hey, I could just go on and on. And all this has happened in the last year. And, you know, sometimes I've struggled and I literally scream in pain just to get around. You know, stooped and just scream when that sciatic nerve, you know, touches on that spinal nerve. And wow, I just go into hysterics. Well, I told one, and now look, I'm not a big baby. I'm not squeamish, but I tell you, I read that gout is so bad, certain cases of it, that doctors say it's the worst pain on earth other than childbirth. But hey, childbirth can be over in what, 30, 40 minutes? This stuff has lasted me now for almost 8 weeks. Well, you know what? When I came to the office today to tape this program, I had a smile on my face. I was all stooped over. I could barely move. If I move a certain direction, if you hear me scream, folks, well, we haven't got an assassin in here with a butcher knife killing me. It's just that I probably moved my nerve the wrong way and whammo. Well, but I came in with a smile on my face saying, well, thank God this is going to be so much fun. Do my radio program today. That is so much. I mean, that is my life. I love it. I love working at this ministry. And my favorite saying here is, we got it made. We got it made. And you know something? I'm going to get a new body someday anyway. Jesus is going to give me a new body. I don't want this one too long anyway. I think I've abused it and overused it. I'm ready for my new body, Lord. Now, I'm not going to go till he tells me to. So if you hear somewhere that Tex committed suicide, you'll know, no, they did it to me. They got to me. How could I commit suicide when I love what I'm doing? I love life. I love my wife. Got the most fabulous staff here, amazing staff that cover for me, take care of me when I'm ill like this. And my friends out there, you're praying for me. A lot of you sent me little tips and ideas on how to conquer gout. I appreciate that. You have no idea how much I appreciate it. Okay, I want to get right into this stuff today, but I did want to tell you how much I appreciate you, my good truth-telling friends. I think a lot of you would get angry at TexMoors if I didn't tell the truth. Now, somebody asked me, how can I trust you, TexMoors? Well, go back over my record, 25 years. We've been in the ministry here. This is our 25th anniversary. So, you know, I'm not always right, but I do tell the truth. And I'm going to keep telling the truth. And that's just the way it is. That's the way I'm built. And I guess I was just raised wrong. I don't understand people that don't want to tell the truth. That's the biggest thing to me. I've told you about my dad. One time I told my dad a lie. Just one time. And all he had to say was, well, I'm disappointed in you. Man, woo, that was terrible. Just him saying that, I'm disappointed in you. Well, I decided I was never going to disappoint my dad again. My dad was a wonderful man, and I disappointed him. I told a lie. He caught me in it. Oh, be sure your sins will find you. He caught me in it. Says, nah, and he sat down with me and said, I want you to tell me the truth about this particular thing. It wasn't the end of the world anyway, but, you know, it was something that I told a little fib, thought I was going to get away with it, and I didn't. And I felt terrible. And you know something, friends? That was 50 years ago, and I still feel bad about it today, and my dad's going to be the Lord. And I'm sure the very next day, he just, you know, didn't think much about it. You know, he was forgiving me. It's not like the end. It didn't ruin my relationship with my dad. He hugged me, hugged my neck that night, and, you know, and we had breakfast together the next day, and everything was just fine. But it really wasn't fine because I knew, yeah, I'd shaded the truth. I wasn't going to do that again. Now, if I believe that about dad, my dad, that it just killed me to have told him a lie and him to know that, think about your heavenly father. I don't think you should tell any lies. I think every lie that I tell here on earth disappoints my heavenly father. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not. Not. So you don't want to trust TexMoors? It's okay. But my heavenly father knows that I'm not going to lie, so that's all I have to please. I hope you get in line. I hope you and me and God all together. Okay, we have some amazing things for you. Boy, I'm going to tell you how to reverse global warming, if it exists. How to reverse it. An amazing idea from the environmentalists. I suspect they're going to do this. So you better listen up, because whether you like it or not, they have a special method to reverse global warming, and you better, well, wow. Okay, Ron Paul. Did you know he's an anti-Semite, a Jew hater, a Nazi? A brown-shirted thug? That's right. Now, before you get all upset at me, I didn't say that. I'm just reading to you what some other folks said about him. I suspect you don't agree with these people, but we'll see whether you do or not. Ron Paul and Rand Paul, his son, just a bunch of horrible anti-Semitic Jew haters, Nazis. Or is that so? You decide. Hey, some guys out there think that I'm just, well, they think I'm from the cuckoo's nest. They say Nurse Ratched would not have allowed me to have anything sharp. Now, you have to have seen the movie Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson, that gal that played Nurse Ratched. What a movie. I don't want to ever see it again. I saw it once. That was enough for me. Boy, that was gruesome, wasn't it, Jerry? Woo, man. But anyway, folks, say some bad things about me here online. Thought you ought to know about it. Hey, Tony Blair has converted to Catholicism. But the priest, the Catholic priest who brought him into Catholicism, well, he's, we'll talk about that in just a minute. You'll get a kick off of that. Oh, we got so much to go. Let's see, a few folks actually say something nice about me here. I appreciate that. I might say something about it. Israel is very happy, according to APAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. They're very happy with the freshman Republicans in the Senate and the House. Meanwhile, my good friend Alex Jones, he's been defending Charlie Sheen. We may get into that. And, of course, Charlie Sheen is being accused of being an anti-Semite. That's how he got in trouble. Hey, here's a question for you. Does God judge nations based on how they stand toward Israel? If you bless Israel, will God bless you? If you don't bless Israel, will God curse you? Hey, isn't this wonderful? Here's a friendly couple. Obama makes history with his social secretary pick. And here the man's picture is. Wait, no, it's two men's picture. Oh, wait, they're married. Oh. Harry Reid, Senator Harry Reid, Senate Majority Leader, says he's tired of the cat houses in Nevada. Wow. Who would have thought the most liberal guy in America practically would not want the cat houses in Nevada? And the owner of the most famous cat house of all is angry at Harry Reid. Said he's not going to vote for him next time. Not going to give him campaign contributions. It's a cat fight. Meanwhile, we go to another location up in Illinois, and Rahm Emanuel is now the mayor. Rahm the Cruel Emanuel. He won. We'll discuss that as well. Okay, a lot to go over today. Let's go right away with it. This is a fabulous article. I don't know. It could be a good idea. What do you think? Could a small nuclear war reverse global warming? Now, this is in the Huffington Post, one of the top liberal web news sites. Now, a lot of people think nuclear war is a bad thing, right? But according to the Huffington Post article here, it seems that scientists from NASA, our space agency, and a number of other institutions have recently been studying the effect of a nuclear war. Now, if there could be a war, they call a small nuclear war, a war involving maybe 100 Hiroshima, Japan-level bombs. In other words, whatever Hiroshima got, do it 100 times in a war. Do a little damage, wouldn't it? Now, they say that their research indicates that 5 million metric tons of black carbon would be swept up into the lowest portion of the atmosphere. Now, it'd make for a real mess. See all that black stuff, black smoke and particles up in our upper atmosphere. But the result, according to NASA's climate models, could actually reverse global warming because it would shield the world, the Earth that is, from the sun. They say in volcanoes like at Krakatoa, over 100 years ago in Indonesia, that the Earth was cooled several degrees for, you know, like 30 or 40 years or more. Yes, the carbon, the black soot and junk up in the atmosphere from this nuclear war would absorb the solar heat. Well, that's wonderful. And by the way, this was also in National Geographic magazine. And Time magazine talked about it too. It says in Time magazine, even a small exchange of nuclear weapons between 50 and 100 Hiroshima-sized bombs, which India and Pakistan already have in their arsenal, would produce enough soot and smoke to block out sunlight, cool the planet, and produce climate change unprecedented in recorded human history. You know, now I think I still have it. You can order it. I had a special report on the horror of environmentalism and how they were intending to destroy the Earth. Not save it, but destroy it. And I got letters, Tex, they love to hug trees. They love things green. They love the Mother Earth. How would they want to destroy it? You don't understand. There's a biblical principle. You can't trust Satanists. You can't trust people who love nature more than God or believe that nature is God. You got to understand, everything they say is reverse. It's reverse language. I mean, you know, I haven't been to one, but I have reliable reports from former Satanists who tell me that the Church of Satan and many other satanic churches would do things in reverse. We Christians read the Lord's Prayer from beginning to end. They read from end to beginning. They would go to a certain passage in Revelation and read it backwards. They say some satanic rock stars would actually have lyrics that were backward. And one gentleman wrote a book called Backward Masking Unmasked. He says, you know, it sounds like some sort of gibberish stuff they're saying. I mean, it's words, but then you play it backward and it's actually language. You can hear rock stars saying, I love you, Satan. Marry me, Satan. I give my soul to you, Lord Satan. It was reverse engineering done in their songs. You say that's crazy. I've heard them. I've heard many albums. You say that's just text. That's just by chance that happens. Oh, yeah? Well, show me any other speech. Take my radio program today. Play it backward. And see if I'm masking satanic messages. Don't waste your time. On me, at least. When they say they love the earth, they don't. They hate everything. They hate life. What does it say in Proverbs? All those who hate me love death. Proverbs 8:36. That's a principle, a scriptural principle. It's not a homily. All those who hate me, that is God, love death. They love death. They would love to see you lose your jobs if you work in the logging fields. If you need water and you're a farmer up in Oregon or somewhere, they love to turn off the water spigot so that thousands of farmers will lose their livelihood. They don't care about you. They don't even love Mother Earth. They're killers. They're deathers. That's true. And now we see where they're really headed. I told you about up in Chicago area of Illinois. You see, they claim that when the white man came to Illinois, we planted a bunch of trees. And that there's 50,000 trees in the counties around Illinois that were not there back before the white man got there. There was just plains and plains grasses and such. Native habitat. But we evil white men, that's you, probably, although we have a lot of blacks listening to the show, and you too, obviously. I bet there's a lot of black people migrated, you know, maybe during the Civil War and all that up to the Midwest. And then you evil black men, you planted trees. Ooh, you evil black men planted trees when you came up and if you own homes and such. How terrible of you. Bunch of filthy black men planting trees like that. Despoiling the plains grasses of Illinois and Chicago. But the environmentalist groups all got together and are demanding that all the trees be cut down to return Illinois to its native habitat. They say there's at least 50,000 trees they've counted. Now, they've really been doing some precious. I bet that was a government grant. They got paid $7 million or something to go out and count the trees so they could tell the Environmental Protection Agency we have to cut down these 50,000 trees. That the black men and the white men, all you bunch of people prejudiced against Mother Earth, trying to kill Earth by planting trees. You think, I'm not kidding you about this. I'm telling you the truth. Now, here's my concern with all of this. You see, I actually addressed this to the environmental organizations. I wanted them to go even further. You see, it's supposedly been proven that hundreds of thousands of years ago, the entire North American continent was ice. And everything was buried under a huge coat of ice. There was nothing. It was barren. I want it to be returned to its original habitat, frozen. The plains grasses, I told them, were not native habitat. It was down to basic earth, my friends. You get under ice and you ain't going to find anything. And my demand is that we return to an ice age. Just a minute while I'm getting my tongue out of my cheek. Jerry got stuck in there, you know, while I was going. But isn't this amazing? I'm talking about NASA, National Geographic, Time Magazine. And listen, you won't believe me. Huffington Post says the cons, that means for it, for the nuclear war, seem to outweigh the... Oh, my goodness. You know what? They may say, that's why we need a good war in the Middle East. Israel, use your 400 nuclear bombs. Stop global warming. Of course, folks, let's face it. There is no global warming. But that doesn't stop these Al Gore wackos, does it? Meanwhile, talk about some warming. There's some people. There's some people putting out some hot theories about Rod Paul. You know, there's a guy there. His name is Horowitz. He's a former Marxist, but he turned Republican. So don't criticize Michael Horowitz, this Jewish guy, he's been on Fox News all the time, and he has some American Freedom Center, some, I don't know what his group is called. It's crazy, of course. David Horowitz, his name. Did I say Michael? It's David Horowitz. He's a devout Zionist. He thinks Israel can do no wrong. But the problem with Ron Paul and Rand Paul is they're against unconstitutional wars. And that has driven the Jews crazy because they are for unconstitutional wars if they're fought on behalf of Israel, which all the wars in the Middle East are. We're killing all the Arabs and stealing their oil and doing all that, and Israel is going to grow greater and greater and greater. Now, did you know, here's another little thing. Did you know, friends, that the United Nations Security Council just voted on a resolution that declared that Israel should stop building settlements in Palestinian territory? You know, that, what they're doing is sort of like if the United States decided, you know, we don't have enough land here in Texas and in New Mexico. I think we're going to go over there and drive out all the people from Juarez and, you know, Nuevo Laredo and all those cities down there. And we're just going to drive out all the people, make them go live out in tents out in the Mexican desert of Chihuahua. You know, make them live in those, re-inhabit those pyramids down in Yucatan. Meanwhile, we're going to take all their cities after we've driven all the people out because God just wants us to have them. We're God's chosen people. We're going to take them. Well, that didn't sound good to the nations of the world. So the United Nations Security Council met on this. And what is it? 17 nations on the Security Council now. Every one of them except one voted to condemn Israel for stealing the Palestinians' land. Who's the one? Who's the one holdout? Well, the United States. Barack Obama. And by the way, let me put to rest the fact that I had reported that a high-level source had told me, confided in me, that Barack and Michelle were angry as hornets at the Jews. And they wanted Rahm Emanuel to leave. They wanted Larry Summers and the other Jews, some of the Jews it is, to leave. You know, they were trying to tell Obama and, you know, and Michelle when they could go to the bathroom, I guess. When they could eat, what they could eat, where they could go, how they could do it. I'm exaggerating, but pretty well running everything in the White House. And Michelle said they were really rotten about it and treated her like a black dog. Well, you know, that's not good. Yeah, she pulled a race card. Well, they did have some inflammation there, let's just call it, in the White House about that. And as I understand it, that's one of the reasons they told Rahm Emanuel he would have to leave, Larry Summers and the others. It was just a little internecine, little in-house dispute. You know, like you have a bad uncle that comes and stays a while and you get tired of him, kick him out. He's still your uncle. Well, this is what happened at the White House. So Obama won the battle. But that doesn't mean he's not doing everything Israel wants him to do. He just said, Jews, stay out of my hair. You know, I want to have Valerie Jarrett, my old Illinois friend, to be my advisor. And he's got a black advisor, too. He wanted to sort of blacken the White House, you know, a little bit. A little African-American style. A little get-down music, maybe. I don't know. He's tired of Rahm Emanuel saying F you every other word, I guess. So he got rid of him. That doesn't mean Rahm Emanuel's been demoted. As I understand it, he's on the top councils of the Sanhedrin, you might say. He's part of the mega that meets in New York. And now they made him mayor of Chicago. That's the biggest crime city in the world, practically. So don't think he's been demoted. They got big plans for Rahm. And, you know, it's just two people arguing, three people, four people, five people, and they had to sort of settle things. And now it's back to where it was, and Obama is saying Yaza Nosa and, yes, Bawana, whatever you Jews want. So that's where it is at the White House again. He got rid of the prickly pear, you know, cactus-like, porcupine quilled Rahm Emanuel. But don't think he got rid of all the Jews. No, that's not going to happen. They'll assassinate him if he tried to do that. But anyway, so I wanted to let you know that's one thing for you to understand. So now Obama doesn't say no more to the Jews. He says more, whatever you want me to do. I will get on my knees. I will lick your boots. Please don't mess with Michelle, though, because she's really upset. And she's a big gal. She'll whack you. Okay. Let's get back to Ron Paul. Here's an article that reads, Horowitz and the neocons, that's the Jews, that's code words. When a person is too cowardly to say Jews, they use the word neocons. But in a way, it's accurate, you see, because after Richard Nixon fell, back in the 70s, the Jews said, as they did in the Holocaust, never again, because Vice President Agnew and Richard Nixon were their greatest enemies. And they said, we can't allow this to happen again. We control the Democrats, or we did, and then up comes John F. Kennedy, and we had to help get him assassinated. And now here comes Richard Nixon with his vice president, Spiro Agnew, and they're plotting against us. They're even using Billy Graham against us. We cannot allow this anymore. So after they got rid through the Washington Post and the New York Times and their Watergate mess and the two reporters, Woodward and Bernstein, that did the Watergate, the Deep Throat thing, they were all Jews, of course. And Deep Throat himself was Mark Felt, who was deputy director of the FBI at the time. That's come out. And, of course, Deep Throat was a Jew. There was a big Jewish conspiracy against Richard Nixon. So they got rid of Richard Nixon and his vice president, Spiro Agnew, who had called him a bunch of nattering nabobs and impudent snobs. I always liked Agnew. I love that wording. Yeah, that's what he really was calling the Jews that. You're a bunch of impudent snobs and nattering nabobs. I wish I could come up with language like that, Jerry. I'll put that into my... Anyway, let me just put it this way. These same nattering nabobs and impudent snobs who, according to him, claimed they were intellectuals but did not know how to park a bicycle. That was Spiro Agnew's phraseology. I always liked that. I love that. I also love George Wallace, Jerry. When he ran for president, he said, when I get to Washington, D.C., I'm going to take all the bureaucrats' briefcases and throw them in the Potomac River. That's what George Wallace said. I love that. You know, I didn't even vote for him, but I love that, you know. And then he said, anyway, the only thing those guys up in Washington, D.C. have in their briefcases is peanut butter sandwiches. Oh, and Agnew said they can't even park their bicycles straight. Probably true. But they believe in bicycles because that saves the world's environment and can stop global warming if enough people ride bicycles to work. But not them. They ride huge stretch limos that take about as much gasoline as 3 or 4 cars, and they fly their personal charter jets, chartered by the government, of course, all over the world. Which is probably 10,000 of you and me, Jerry, flying, you know, in coach class on the Southwest Airlines. Okay, we're going to have to take off in a minute. When I come back, I got to get in this Ron Paul story where Horowitz is calling him, smearing him. He's smearing him. He calls him a Texas crackpot. Ron Paul. He says that Ron Paul has called America and Israel, has attacked them as the great Satan and the little Satan. They're Nazi stormtroopers. Can't you just see Ron Paul and Rand Paul walk down the street in their brown suits saying, Heil, Heil Constitution. I made that up, but they didn't say that about him. But when we get back, poor Ron Paul and Rand Paul. But I think they can take the heat. They've been in the kitchen long enough. But why should they have to? These crummy, nattering nabobs that are on their back. Okay, I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power Prophecy. Be right back. Got so much more to talk about. Some people say some bad stuff about me. They say I'm a cuckoo. Maybe I am. They talk about my ravings. Maybe I do rave. I like to do it. I hope you like to listen. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, we just keep so busy here at Power of Prophecy, working on projects, and I don't know, the devil just seems to get in and try to stir things up and make trouble, and we're going to need your help in handling something that has occurred. A couple of weeks back, we came to work in the morning, and guess what? Our security fence had been knocked down. Now, not by vandals or anything, but the good old Mother Wind had come along and knocked it down. And getting a little old anyway in spots and such. And, you know, we need security here at Power of Prophecy, especially when we're not here. We have some books and things. They may not be worth a lot of money, but, you know, there's investigative materials and things that are very desperately needed. And I'd hate to see some, as you know, I'm not going to name any names, but you know people like to destroy what we're doing. So we have a nice little cedar fence. It's not a fancy fence. It's just the old style cedar, but it keeps the bad people out, especially when we're not here at night and we have to have a security alarm as well in our building. But we have the fence there, and here it's knocked down, getting old anyway, and we're going to have to replace it. $10,000 in all. Things are getting so expensive these days. Quite a length of fence, though. We're out sort of in the country where we can be here and not near skyscrapers and things where trigger-happy people may come in to want to do us in. But we would need your help in replacing this fence. And if you'd like to contribute to the ministry, love gift to the ministry, to help us build our fence back and have our security, I'd appreciate it. Great big piece of it's just plain gone. I mean, it's just knocked off, and we couldn't possibly get it back together. So we're going to have to get a brand new fence, and $10,000 is quite a hunk out of the ministry. If you can help with $5, $10, $100, $1,000 if you can afford it. Hey, if you can afford the whole $10,000, well, praise God for you. But we really appreciate your help on this $10,000 fence restoration project. Our fence project. Just call it for the fence if you can give. And, of course, our phone number here is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. And say, tell Tex I want to help build the fence back. Appreciate that. You can also send us a check or a money order or cash to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And I suppose you can go in and make a donation on our powerprophecy.com website as well. But mention it's for the fence project if you can, or send us a separate email and let us know, okay? We'd appreciate that. Okay, so that's a big project. As you know, we always are running short of money here, and we recently had to cut back on that. I guess everybody didn't get a pay raise the last year. I think we got a minimum coming up here this year, maybe 2% or something, but we just need your help so much. Folks, you know, nobody does the things that we do here. We and you are truth tellers. And nobody else can do that. Nobody can replace us. Now, God could. I mean, says the Bible, he could raise up stones. I'm not going to humor myself and think that I'm so important that I'm indispensable. Not to God. But if you love what we're doing and you know how dedicated we are, please help us. Now, at the same time, we have a new book coming out. Now, we're going to ship this the last part of May. If you order it now, you'll get it. You'll be one of the very first to get it. And it'll help us also in staying ahead a little bit of our expenses. You know, we have actually two books coming out. And the first one is called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, if you'd like to have one of the first copies, let me tell you how we're going to do it. You can order it in advance. Just send $25 for the book plus $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. Now, that's one of these giant books. I'm getting a little bit expert in putting those out. It's 432 pages, as big as Conspiracy World. Huge book, like a big telephone book. And this isn't one you take to the beach, put in your back pocket, unless you got one big back pocket. And has hundreds of pictures in it. You'll enjoy the book. Incredible. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's a truth teller's compendium of some very, very fascinating things that I'm sure you've never known about Israel, the Jews, their religion, Judaism, and the Rothschild conspiracy to destroy America and set up a new world order. Amazing book. Man, when you get this book, you will be shocked at what is in this book. God has given me so much over the last 25 years, and I'm packing it in. But especially all the things that are going on right now that have to do with your life. This is the most amazing book you'll ever read. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Of course, we talk about the Six-Pointed Star, too. Is it really the Star of David, or is it the Star of Satan? Is it the Star of Mystery Babylon? You'll want this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You'll find out about Harry Truman. You'll find out about the murder, the assassination of General George Patton. Oh, yes. You'll find out about the secret Nixon tapes, why Spiro Agnew was really axed as vice president. So much of this book. The murder by throwing him out a 16th story window at Walter Reed Medical Hospital, military hospital, of Secretary of Defense James Forrestal. Incredible things. Is the serpent the god of Judaism? Literally the serpent or Satan. Can I prove that? Now, I don't just mean saying they worship the Satan as a figurative thing. I mean the real Satan. Are they Satan worshipers, the chief rabbis? Do they worship, even though most Jews don't even know they're worshiping secretly, Satan himself? Amazing things you'll find in this book. All documented for, should I say, your reading enlightenment, your illumination, as Rothschild might call it. All right. Again, you can order this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, for $30 postpaid. Here's what we're going to do. When we get it printed up, when it comes in, they bring a big truck in with all these boxes. It's our job to get them offloaded, put in our warehouse here. But we're going to take the first boxes, open them up, and you, dear friends, if you order now, will get one of the first of the books. I mean, that day we'll ship it out. Well, I admit, if we're working late at night, we'll probably be a little tired having worked all day in the hot sun here offloading books. So we may wait until the next morning, but you're going to be one of the first to get this book. I'll only get it the night before so I can check my work. I always do that to make sure the printer did a good job, you know. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30. I want to mention our new book, too, Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I was privileged to write a new foreword, Henry Ford. We have a whole section of all of his writings. Now, they're not on the Protocols of Zion exactly, but he mentions them. It's what he says about the international Jew. Henry Ford, the great industrialist who invented the assembly line, Ford Motor Company founder. He had a lot to say about the Jews and their international conspiracy. What did he say about the Protocols of Zion? He said it fits history to a T. Folks, you read the Protocols of Zion and you'll say, that's what's happening now. It's true. These aren't a forgery or a hoax. It's the whole pattern of decades and decades and the year 2011. The Protocols of Zion. 24 protocols that have changed the world that are going to dramatically revolutionize our lives. Again, Protocols of Zion. $20. You'll get my foreword. You'll see what I say about the protocols in the pages of this book as well. We got a beautiful cover we put on it. And why did I publish this international classic exposing the Zionist agenda, their blueprint? Because, friends, this is such a rare book, nobody else could get it. It's almost impossible to find. You won't find it in any bookstores. Did you know, because I'm the publisher of this book, I'm the publisher of this new edition with my foreword, there's at least a dozen countries around the world where I would be arrested for having the audacity to publish this book. Everybody is afraid of it. It has no profanity, no smutty pictures, not one curse word. It only tells the truth. And for that, they despise it. They hate it. Well, read and decide for yourself. And by the way, of course, it comes in our regular envelopes. Nobody will know. You can take out Protocols of Zion in the comfort of your home and take it back to a closet and get a flashlight. Nobody will know you're reading it. Unless you have the courage to read it out in your living room. I hope you do. But in any case, Protocols of Zion, $25. That includes shipping and handling. Now, you can order this, your advance copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, or Protocols of Zion by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708, Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, in the USA. Or you can order either one. We even have Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, an advertisement for it, right on the homepage of our website. We offer Protocols of Zion. You'll see a description of it and the new cover with my foreword there right on the homepage of powerofprophecy.com. 24/7, powerofprophecy.com. Order all of our books, videos, CDs, audio tapes. Now let's return to our regular program. Boy, we've got a packed agenda. I'm going to get right to it. I was telling you about David Horowitz. He's a neocon, which is another word for Jew. A Jew pretending to be a Republican of all things. You see, when President Nixon gave the Jews sort of a headache, he and Spiro Agnew, his vice president, they were, well, let's just say they were punished for their transgression. Nixon and his vice president. With the Watergate conspiracy. It wasn't 5% as evil as the things that President Clinton and Obama have done. And George W. Bush, goodness sakes. But nevertheless, Nixon had declared war, secret war on the Jews. And they knew about it. They knew about what he was saying in the Oval Office. Shows you they had their own little tape recording, doesn't it? Well, in any case, they decided they would never again have to worry about JFK and Nixon. Those kind of type guys. They would control the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party. And so a bunch of Marxist Trotskyite Jews, including David Horowitz, became a neocon Republican. And ever since then, they've run both political parties. Now, Ron Paul and his son, Rand Paul, Senator from Kentucky, and I'm talking about Congressman Ron Paul, had the most horrible things said and written about them by this David Horowitz. What a Horowitz. Good connection there. Boy, the Zionists love to smear people like Ron Paul. Listen, they call Ron Paul, this Horowitz, lies about Ron Paul and Rand Paul. They smear Ron Paul. They call him anti-Semite. They say he's a Jew hater. They say he's a brown shirt Nazi, just plain Nazi. They talk about other Republicans that don't agree with the neocon Jews. They call them as stormtroopers, Hitler's stormtroopers. I've never seen such excessive, idiotic language. Now, David Horowitz is being paid to go around all these college universities. He goes on Fox News and MSNBC and I suppose all these networks. I've seen him many times on Fox pretending to be a conservative now. Yes, I once was a Marxist liberal, but now I'm a conservative. Liar. Let me read to you what he said. This Marxist, former Marxist, baloney, Marxist now, David Horowitz, he says, for years, the Texas crackpot, Ron Paul, has been attacking America and Israel as imperialist powers, the great Satan and the little Satan, and calling for America's retreat from the battle against our totalitarian enemies. He continues, and by the way, he was recently, this David Horowitz, pretending to be a Republican conservative, at the Conservative Political Action Committee, or conference. So was Ron Paul and many other people. Here's what he says. At the recent CPAC, that's Conservative Political Action Committee, conference, Paul's Jew-hating stormtroopers swarmed the Freedom Center's table to vent their spleen against Israel as a Nazi state. Now Paul is making a priority of withdrawing aid for Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East, and the only reliable ally of the United States. Now let's deconstruct what the Jew, David Horowitz, who calls himself a neocon Republican, has to say. First of all, he calls Ron Paul a crackpot. That's okay. The next item I'm going to give you is from a man who calls Tex Mars a cuckoo. I don't mind being called names. Ron Paul's pretty tough. He can take the heat. He's got thick skin, just like Tex Mars. It's a lie. It's not true, but it's okay. It's okay to call Ron Paul a Texas crackpot. But then he says, Paul has been attacking America and Israel as imperialist powers, the great Satan and the little Satan. Folks, Ron Paul has never called America. He loves America. I know Ron Paul. He has never called America the great Satan. And he's never called Israel the little Satan. Now, maybe Tex Mars has, because it's true. Israel is the little Satan. But Ron Paul hasn't. Now, the reason he so hates Ron Paul is because Ron Paul is against all unconstitutional wars. And Horowitz and the Jews want us to be over in the Middle East interminably fighting all of their enemies, fighting wars for Israel, our men and women dying, thousands perishing over there for a greater Israel world empire. That's all we're over there for. And the oil that we don't get anyway, the oil, the Iraqi oil is all going to the Jews and Rothschild. And that's the truth. I've exposed that. And I proved it in my audio tape CD report, which you can order, called Triad of Evil. He says Ron Paul wants to retreat from our battle against our totalitarian enemies. It's Israel that's totalitarian. He says Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. Baloney. First of all, Turkey, which is mostly a Muslim country, is a democracy, and they vote for their president. Mr. Erdogan is president of Turkey, a nation of 80 million people, and the Turks are allies of the United States, more so than Israel. Israel is actually our enemy. And not only is the president of Turkey democratically elected, but Turkey is a country that has a secular government that honors and recognizes all religions. Now, let me put to bed this myth that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. First of all, we have Turkey, which really is a democracy. But Israel is a theocratic state. It is a Jewish state. It's not a democracy. A democracy is like America, where we give rights to people of all religions, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Jains, even atheists. That's right. And whether they're gay or whatever, it doesn't matter. Sometimes I wish it did, but it doesn't. A Muslim can run for office, and we have some elected officials that are Muslims. We have many Jews, even though they hate America. We let them run for office and win office and take office. We let them buy stuff, buy land, buy cars, whatever they want to buy. We treat everyone the same. There's even anti-discrimination laws in America. If you're a landlord, you must rent to anybody. He might tell you, well, I'm a member of the Church of Satan. Is that a problem, big Christian buddy? And if you won't rent to him, he'll sue you and he'll probably win. If it's a witch, she might tell you, well, you know, I'd like to rent this garage apartment from you. And if you don't let me, I'm going to go to the Human Rights Commission and I'm going to sue you too. Yes, I'm going to do satanic rituals there, and you'll see candles and you'll see other witches coming in, and we'll be blaspheming your Jesus. Is that all right with you, landlord? And you know what? You'll have to rent it to him. But in Israel, listen to me, did you know if you're a Christian living in Israel, you cannot buy one inch of land, you cannot buy a home, you cannot buy a business? It is against the law in Israel for anyone other than Jews to own land and property. You can't vote in Israel if you're of other religions. It's a Jewish state. It's for Jews. They're discriminatory. They violate every tenet of American democracy. There's no separation of church and state. The rabbis run Israel. Don't tell me that's a democracy. The Jews complain because the Muslim mullahs, the imams, run Iran. Well, they do. But the chief rabbis of Israel run Israel. It is just like Iran. They're both theocratic states. But Turkey is the only democracy in the Middle East. Turkey, a Muslim country. You can run for office. You can buy property in Turkey as a Christian, as a Jew. Yes, as a Jew. As a Satanist, even. Perish the thought. Okay. Now, first of all, at CPAC, those were all of the Republicans. They were all there. Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, And guess what? The majority of them there, the most of the people, that is, a plurality, actually, in a straw poll voted that Ron Paul should become president. Mitt Romney was second. Mike Huckabee and the others were way down there. Boy, that must have made them angry. Ron Paul is against the wars in the Middle East. He's against all unconstitutional wars. Now, another thing that Scott Horowitz got a bee in his bonnet is he's angry because Ron Paul and his son, Rand Paul, say they want no more foreign aid going overseas. Well, that's going to cut out Israel. Now, Israel is one of the richest nations in the world. You'll see Mercedes. You'll see Jaguars. You'll see half-naked women down in the beaches near Tel Aviv. It's a very rich country. All those big banks in Tel Aviv, they've got their banking district. Folks, one of the richest countries in the world. And over the years, according to my good friend Willis Carto at American Free Press, we have given them $500 billion since 48. $500 billion in free foreign aid. And the Pauls say they don't want to give foreign aid to anybody. We also gave foreign aid to Egypt. You know what the Pauls say? Let's spend our money in our nation. We're a broke nation. We have a deficit problem. We're in near financial bankruptcy as a nation. We're borrowing money from China and everybody in the world. And so the Pauls say, let's keep our money at home until we pay off these debts. But Israel says, I want more, more, more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. So they're calling Paul, Ron Paul and Rand Paul, these Jews, these evil Jews, these neocons, are calling them every name in the book because they want money and they want us to fight wars and die for them. Well, God bless Ron Paul. Well, here's a guy, doesn't like me evidently. He said he's reviewed my book, New Age Cults and Religions, and he has a lot of bad things to say about me. His name is William Harwood. You'll probably like me mentioning his name. This is on online, some website. I won't even give you the name. It doesn't matter. But you see, we just put out a new edition of New Age Cults and Religions. You might want to order that book from us, published in 2011. He says, he's done a review on it. Now, anybody's welcome to a review of my book. The only thing would be nice if they were to read it. He hasn't read it. Would you like to know why? Because when this review came out, we had not shipped it yet. We got it from the printer and hadn't been shipped out. That happens to me all the time. People write bad reviews of my book for Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. They write and they say horrible things about every one of my books, and guess what? They haven't read them. How do I know? We announced them, but we haven't shipped them out yet. They could not have read them. It's not there available. And predictably, he gives the specs on the book. He said it's published by Riverside Publications and Bible Home Church. Well, it's not published by Bible Home Church. And it's not published by Riverside Publications. Our publishing arm is called Rivercrest. So the guy didn't know what he's talking about. He didn't even know what the publisher is. Then he says, Texas book, most of the book, he says, can be read on his website. You can't read my book, New Age Cults and Religion, on the website. I think I wrote a 3-page article, and my book is not on my website, where you can read the whole thing. That's where he said he read his. My website, JesusIsSavior.com. That's where he read my book. That's a lie. Would you like to know why? I don't have a website called JesusIsSavior.com. That's not our website. Our website, Tex Moore's website, is PowerOfProphecy.com. The guy is lying. He could at least done a little research. He says, memo to the head of the security at Cuckoo's Nest. Check Tex Moore's cell. He seems to have escaped. Either that or New Age Cults was written in crayon, since Nurse Ratchet would not have allowed him access to anything sharp. Well, very clever, Mr. Harwood. So I'm a cuckoo. So what does that make you? An idiot? Riverside Publications. Bible Home Church Publications. JesusIsSavior.com. By the way, I like that name, JesusIsSavior.com, but that's not my website. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He says, he claims that the book shows that I hate 95% of human beings, and they're all going to hell because they don't believe just the way I do, which means Christian Bible. First of all, that's not hate at all. I don't hate anybody. If I hated them, I wouldn't have wrote the book, New Age Cults and Religions, trying to get them out of the cults. and religions of Satan. Do you believe in a God that hates 95% of the humans? God does not hate anybody. And this is what makes me mad. You start defaming Tex Mars, that's just turkey. That's just fine. But you start lying about God. I don't worship a God that hates 95% of the people. Our Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God does not want one soul to perish. He sent his son to the cross. He died in agony. Jesus willingly gave his life for you, William Harwood, who wrote this dreadful piece of trash. He says, what Tex Mars preaches in this book, his religion, says that all of the people who are Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Unitarians, agnostics, etc., are all condemned to be barbecued with flamethrowers for all eternity in an underworld Auschwitz that can only be described as a sadist wet dream. Pretty filthy there of you, Mr. Harwood. First of all, I have never said that anybody should be barbecued with flamethrowers for all eternity. That's pretty silly. My most cherished thought is that people would come to have the happiness, joyfulness, and contentment of Jesus Christ, who died for all the world, not just for me. He died for everyone. And that means he gives opportunity. Just believe and have faith in him. It doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim. It doesn't matter whether you're a Buddhist. It doesn't matter if you're an Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan. Jesus, yes, Jesus will even forgive you. That is the loving Savior that I believe in. So keep writing these things. By the way, real quick, the Charlie Sheen thing. Alex Jones on The View and other places defending. He wasn't defending Charlie Sheen's bad behavior. He's just a friend of Charlie Sheen's. And he wants a better life for Charlie Sheen. And I think Alex did good in that respect. But remember, Charlie Sheen was fired not because of his bad behavior, not because he was a drugger, not because he was running around with wild women he called his goddesses, not because he was in rehab, not because of his filthy mouth, all of those things which Alex Jones, I'm sure, is trying to help him to recover from. And he says that he wants to have a new life. Okay. Now, I'm not going to debate that. I think Alex Jones is trying to do good. But my point about this is that Charlie Sheen was actually fired from CBS, not because of all those things, as horrible as they might be, but because he actually publicly said the name of his producer of his show. The man calls himself Chuck Lorre, but Charlie Sheen said his real name is Chaim, C-H-A-I-M, but they pronounce it Chaim in Israel and among the Jews. He let everybody know the guy was a Jew, and that's a no-no. They don't want you to know that Hollywood is run by Jews. Your TV shows are all produced by Jews. They run Hollywood. And Charlie Sheen saying that his producer was Chaim. And by the way, that's his real name. His given name, his born name on his birth certificate. Chaim Lorre. Boy, that sent him up in a fury. And they fired him. Abe Foxman of the Jewish ADL even made a public statement and said Charlie Sheen is an anti-Semite. Well, good for Alex Jones that he came to his defense. Now, my prayer is that Charlie Sheen really would change. And he may start with the book of Genesis and keep going until he's read those Gospels. This is Tex Mars. It's been great being with you today here on Secrets Volume at Power of Prophecy. Please tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.